meeting of the House Committee of Agriculture and Natural Resources this Thursday, April 26th.
Could have had a V8.
Pardon?
I could have had a V8.
That's true. I want to thank everybody for waiting around. It took us a while to get here today, but we are now in a place, and we're going to. I'm just going to actually make a statement with regard to 2975. I think we've now shared with all of the committee members a letter from Governor Kulongoski indicating that as the amendments are written on 2975, he would be vetoing that bill if it were to move. And with that statement, I had always indicated that if there was no reason to move it, I don't just do those things to move them. So we're not going to have a work session on 2975. There's also an invitation for a number of us on this committee and maybe others, and so if people are interested, they can get a hold of me, to meet with the Forestry Board to talk to them about the concerns that a number of us have on moving forward and understanding the science behind an adequate yield for that forest and the other issues that they talk about with regard to the permanent value of that forest and those things. And so I will accept and look for other people. I know our state forester, Barbara Brown, is here today. I will accept, and hopefully we'll get a few other people who would love to come and talk to the board and explain to them that we will be watching their movement towards finishing their plan and doing the things that I think, and I think a number of other people who will express that opinion to them, believe needs to happen with respect to the Board of Forestry and making decisions along the way so people understand what's going to happen. And I think we've needed that for a while, and I appreciate the opportunity to do that. And I know that and a few other people that I've talked to and extended that invitation to, I believe they will be there as well. So I will keep in touch with our state forester. And with that, we will not be hearing 2975. And our next order of business is a public hearing and possible work session on House Bill 3303. And we get to exchange committee administrators our able administrator who worked with our work groups on this is going to take over and give us a short explanation. As I think many of you know, we had a group of people and a number of constituents around get together and work for, I don't know, it's been almost a month when we first started, on these bills to come up with a group of annexation bills that we would love to look here. So with that, I'll let Kat explain 3303.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Just briefly, House Bill 3303 requires the city with a charter requiring annexation elections to allow electors in island territories to be annexed to vote on annexation. It requires a majority of votes cast in the city and the territory combined to approve annexation, and it requires that proclamation of annexation contain a legal description of each territory annexed. Pardon me?
Sorry about that.
Oh, yeah. There is in front of you, committee members, a dash one amendment to this bill, which is a real simple clarification. It adds the words, if any, to line 13, if any electors.
Okay. What about the dash two?
That's been
okay. So, do we have any? Okay. So, we will invite Linda up to speak on 3303.
Mr. Chair, may I speak at some
point? And Representative Clem, if you'd like to go first, you can go out there. Since it's your bill, thank you for reminding me.
And he got quite a few other signatures.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
Mine included.
Yeah. Oh, looks like mine's there too.
I think you're there and Maurer's there. This should be easy.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again,
Representative Brian Clint from House District 21 here in Central Salem and the parts of Marion County that are just east of Salem, which is actually the topic of this bill. When I was going door to door and meeting people about this election that I was running in the last year, a lot of folks who live in the county were witnessing an election going on in the city of Salem about some of their neighbors' properties. Sometimes I met people who there was an election going on about their own property. And the way our charter is set up, the election allows the city entities, voters, electors, I think we call them, but basically the voters in the city vote on the properties and whether they should be annexed. Some were where the people wanted to be annexed, some they didn't want to be annexed. And I basically was asked over and over, why don't I get to vote in the election on my house? Or why don't I get to vote when my property is affected? And I went and sort of researched it, and it was really that the state law around islands just didn't allow for that. The city, I talked to our city council about it, and they felt that if they did that, it would not be fair. It was not, you know, voted down 7-1 to do that. And I then started trying to work on an arrangement with the city, really, that would be fair to allow the people to vote when their property is being annexed in the island law, like much of the other annexation law. This is the result of that, 3303. And although I don't see anyone from my city here, my mayor told me that she's fine with this. And I think it's a really fair compromise that is just a basic principle that if everybody else gets to vote in the city, and that's why you see the part that says if a city charter ordinance or resolution requires the city conduct an election. So we're not going to compel elections in cities who don't have them. But if the city's chosen to have everybody in the city vote on it, then the people whose property is in the island should also get to vote. And it's really pretty straightforward philosophy, and I recommend it highly. There's a -1 amendments to include the words if any, just in case the island is a bare piece of ground and there are no electors there, then we just want to make clear that obviously they don't have to have them vote since they don't exist.
Any questions? Yes.
Actually, this is about an island,
correct?
Follow-up?
Yep.
What about non-island?
Thank you. Non-islands are already covered under other chapters of the law, and they have various methods. So, like, if you've heard of the annexation plan method of annexation, that has the people in the area to be annexed voting. They vote in a double majority situation. This is specific chapter on islands and doesn't apply to the other chapters and the other types of annexations. There are some kinds where they will continue to not vote because they're basically already in a contract with the city. So they've already signed an agreement with the city that they are going to be voting, and this is not this chapter either. This only applies to the island annexations. I'm sure Linda actually could talk about the other kinds if you wanted more, but...
Yeah.
Too much information.
You know, the funny thing is, normally I sound incredibly passionate. I mean, this is the first bill that I brought. It's the first bill I introduced. It's the one, obviously, I worked really hard to get a lot of co-sponsors. But the combination of a serious head cold and then the 5 or 6 hours out on the floor, and I still haven't really eaten, and I want to get a little more lively. I just don't know how to do it. You know? My constituents are here. They will.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Linda Ludwig, League of Oregon Cities. House Bill 3303, just another piece of information. Charters have the ability, the authority, to require elections within the corporate boundaries of the city. An island that has not been annexed is not legally within the corporate boundaries of the city. Therefore, a city charter or resolution or ordinance could not compel those voters to be able to vote in an island annexation. And so this is why we need legislative authority to be able to enable Representative Clem's bill. And having said that, we did suggest the -1 amendments and do support those.
Any other questions for these people? Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there anyone else in the audience that wants to speak to these that did not sign up? No rush. That's okay. Okay. Then I'm going to close the public hearing on 3303, and I will open a work session on House Bill 3303.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
I move the -1 amendments to House Bill 3303.
Representative Smith has moved the -1 amendments to House Bill 3303. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, forgive me because I did step out of the room and
answer
maybe a critical piece of the presentation. So I'll add, probably Representative Clem can just inform me. So if it's an island annexation, then does that always require a vote of the residents of the city, or is that just one vehicle by which the island annexation can be done?
It varies, thank you, Mr. Chair. It probably varies from city to city whether or not islands are covered under their own charters that require annexations to be voted on. There might be some that
But don't. The effect of this bill is that if the charter requires the residents of the city to vote, then the island gets to vote as well.
So if there's going to be an election anyway, include the very property owners who are affected in the election.
Well, seeing what a compelling issue this was to the constituents of Representative Clem going door to door with him in that part of unincorporated Marion County, I support this proposal.
Other discussion?
Just a comment. In my area, we have this issue also, and constantly I'm getting questions from residents, and it's not necessarily islands, it's actually the people outside. And so I'm going to probably be talking to folks later on. But I said, well, you know, they represent, or taxation without representation and all that. And it makes sense, you know, and they're clearly not the majority of the voters in the case. But taking their voice away is certainly not something I think that the state should do.
Well, and thanks, Mr. Chair, if I might.
Yes, Representative.
Like Linda said, part of what happened is I went down to City Council and I said, can we please allow them to vote? There was a lot of dispute about whether they could or couldn't. One city attorney apparently in the past had said, no, you can't enfranchise someone out in an island by city charter because they're not covered. Another attorney later thought, well, I think you can, but it's a double majority situation. And, I mean, it was a mess. And this will bring clarity once and for all. And I'm very pleased with the bill and the work and the support we've had from folks.
Okay. Is there any objections to the -1 amendments? Seeing none, the -1 amendments are duly inserted.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3303 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Smith moves House Bill 3303 as amended to the House floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, will our assistant please call the roll?
Representative Boquist.
Excused.
Representative Plum.
Aye.
Representative Dingfelder.
Aye.
Representative McPherson.
Aye.
Representative Maurer.
Aye.
Representative Smith.
I think I'll refuse to vote aye.
We won't waste any time.
Aye. Bill passes. Representative Clem, do you want to carry this bill on?
Yes, please.
We'll hope you're over your cold and have something to eat.
A little more lively.
So we'll close our work session on 3303, and we're going to open a public hearing on 3013. So with that, I will let our administrator give a short description.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 3013 prohibits annexation during incorporation proceedings until a petition is rejected by the county court or voters reject incorporation at election.
So, we have a number of people who want to speak to this. I'll make sure. Now, Representative Clemmer at the top, did you want to speak to this matter? Representative Crummell?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, State Representative Jerry Crummell, House District 26, which is Wilsonville, Sherwood, and over to Gaston and Bull Mountain. I'll start throwing Bull Mountain.
That's right.
So folks know. House Bill 3013 comes as a request from the folks on Bull Mountain. They had petitioned to the Washington County Commission to be able to create their own city. Once the determination was made of what the boundaries of that city would be and the feasibility study was done and they had started going through the process and the county decided to put it before the voters whether or not to allow incorporation, the city of Tigard decided that there was a piece of property about 40 acres inside the what would be the new city of Bull Mountain that they wanted to annex and started proceeding with annexation proceedings. What this would do is basically prohibit a city or district from moving forward with annexation once a boundary has been set and there's an election that's being set. At this point in time, it wouldn't affect Bull Mountain or the city of Tigard because the question of whether or not to incorporate on Bull Mountain failed. But this would certainly potentially affect other jurisdictions, and we just want to make sure that there are not cities trying to basically circumvent process that's already been started. That's what the bill is all about. I'd be happy to answer any questions, but I can tell you, Mr. Chair, that I do have some constituents here from Bull Mountain that would really like to, and they can probably give you more information than I can and probably answer more questions than I can, but I would be happy to answer questions or just get the hell away from the table so you can proceed.
So any questions for Representative Crummell?
Well, is there anybody coming who has sort of a more technical background than you have? Are you the most technical, grounded person that we're going to have before us, Representative Crummell?
Mr. Chair and Representative McPherson, if we're relying on me to be the most technical person, then we have a really big problem here. Actually, I think that Steve Burke is signed up, I believe, to speak on this, and also Lisa. Trike is here to testify, and Julie Russell, and they really understand the technical side of this and what happened because they were part of the organization that put together that went through the entire incorporation process from a standpoint of developing the fatal flaw analysis, developing the feasibility study, understanding what the state statutes were, and then sort of watching this whole situation with Tigard when they decided that they wanted to try to reach in and grab 40 acres that was already part of the incorporation boundaries that had been set by Washington County. So they can really answer, I think, anyway, those questions. Does that answer your question, Representative?
It does.
Okay. Thank you.
And this was one of the bills that, when we had our work group, had decided this is one of those unique ones that needs to come out and to stay this way because it deals with a deal. So there were a number of people on the committee, and I think Representative Clem was there as well. So, and I know that Kat was there. So there may be some other people we could ask from that group who may have, when they were looking at all these bills, why this one rose up out of all those to be one of the things we want to take on. So, okay.
Certainly. Thank you.
So with that, we might as well bring a couple people at a time. Jerry Ritter from Lane County, and is it Julie Russell, Washington County? And I guess we'll just go two at a time. Thanks.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I know it's been a long day for everybody, so I'm going to make it short. OCVA is in support of 3013. It addresses what has been aptly called sour grapes annexation situations. And although such situations would be expected to be rare, any group of people who are trying to incorporate under Oregon law shouldn't be staring down the barrel of a hostile takeover gun. So we do support this legislation, and we would ask you to move it to the floor with a due pass recommendation. As a corollary to that, you also have before you House Bill 3412 that would not only nullify the intent of this bill, but would also revoke changes made by a big majority of the 2005 legislature. So when that comes before you, we urge you to not pass that along. That concludes my testimony.
Thank you very much.
Hi, Julie Russell, 12662 Southwest Terra View Drive on Bull Mountain. And dear committee chair and chairman, I thank you for this opportunity to comment on House Bill 3013. I would like to voice my support for this bill. It's a very difficult undertaking to incorporate a new city. I think that's why so few have happened over the past few years. The citizens of Bull Mountain raised all the funds from personal donations and fundraising with this effort. The effort failed by a difference of 2%, 51-48. It was a much higher attempt and vote than the attempt that Tigard made, which lost to annex to the city of Tigard by a vote of 89% no's to 11% yes. It was even more this process was made even more difficult by the city of Tigard to annex property after the boundary had been set. My neighborhood happened to be one of those particular questionable islands, and the Washington County Commissioners had asked us to make it a clean boundary, and so we were a little frustrated that we weren't included in this effort, but we still supported it. Washington County decided not to remove this boundary or the attempted annexation and changed the boundary after this petition had been submitted, even though the city of Tigard petitioned them to do so. So they did have that opportunity to do so. It caused great difficulty for the people that were administering this, and they were just residents and volunteers, thousands of additional dollars in legal fees by this attempt by Tigard. And I would suggest to you that this is an abuse of power and public money. It's clearly an unfair advantage that the city has at its disposal, you know, a large legal fee budget, and the residents did not have such at their disposal. I thank you for your attention to this time, and I would urge the committee to move this forward with a pass vote to the floor. Thank you.
Any questions? Representative Dingfelder.
Yeah, could you express for the committee why you were opposed to the annexation?
To the city of Tigard or to the incorporation effort?
City of Tigard.
City of Tigard, because at the time we were receiving all of our services from special service districts, the city of Tigard wasn't supplying any of those services. Plus, there was a large group of Bull Mountain that was annexed a number of years ago, and those citizens were promised that they would get parks and trails, and Tigard has failed to give them any of those things that they'd promised.
Follow-up. Yeah. So, and then under, but I just want to clarify, you weren't getting the Tigard services because you're still in Washington County.
Well, all the urban services are being provided by Washington County or other special districts. So Tigard wasn't going to provide any additional services for our additional tax money.
Even with the annexation, you're saying?
Correct.
So it would still be contracted out with the special districts? That's what I'm just trying
Correct.
To figure out.
Would
it be transferred over to the city?
The only additional services we would be doing is paying taxes to the city of Tigard with additional franchise fees. But currently, all of our services are provided by special districts, like the water district and the clean water services, which is the storm water and the sewer, et cetera.
Any further questions? Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Who's next?
Stephen Mark? Is Stephen here? Okay. Lisa.
All right, you don't have to attend that.
Thank you.
Are we going to move this one?
I think so.
Okay.
That's my goal, unless we find anything.
Well.
It was the recommendation of the work group. Thank you.
Good afternoon, Chairman Roblin, members of the committee. My name is Lisa Hamilton Trike, for the record. I'm a resident of unincorporated Bull Mountain, and I was one of the three chief petitioners for the incorporation of Bull Mountain as a city. The next city in Oregon. Unfortunately, as Ms. Russell mentioned, that measure failed to pass by a very small margin of 2%, or 154 votes. And we worked really, really hard. It was very disappointing for a lot of people. It was a very costly and intensive grassroots effort. The economic feasibility study, the legal fees, the campaign fund, were all funded 100% by the residents of the Bull Mountain community through all kinds of fundraising efforts, donations, garage sales, what have you. And fundraising will have to continue for some time to finish paying off the obligations. The required economic feasibility statement began in February of 06. It was about a four-month process. During that process, there was a lot of public involvement, a lot of public outreach. And the boundary had to be set before we could determine a proposed operating tax rate limit. And we knew that this wasn't going to be a boundary that was going to make everybody happy, but we sincerely made our best effort to honor the requests of Washington County, Metro, the City of Tigard, King City, and Beaverton. And we were asked to create a logical boundary that was the most efficient for the delivery of services. And I feel like we did a really good job of doing that. I know this can be kind of complicated, so I don't want to overwhelm you with information. And I could have brought armloads of documentation in here, and I didn't. So
thank you.
And I'm happy to provide or to answer any questions as well. So we moved forward with this effort, gathered all the required signatures, filed the petition, did all of the work in early June to get the ball rolling for a November vote. Washington County set four public hearings, July 25th, August 1st, August 8th, and reserved the 9th of August for the fourth hearing. And why I want to bring this up is because I was fortunate to sit on the last work group this session that just finished up a few weeks ago, and I'm sorry, I should have mentioned that earlier, and I really want to thank you for the opportunity to be on that committee. I was also on the Senate Bill 87 work group, and it was really a privilege to be able to meet and discuss these issues that are kind of near and dear to my heart and the heart of my neighbors. So there was a misperception that the chief petitioners go out and set the boundary and go to Washington County and file it, and it's a done deal, that the boundary can't be changed, and that there was not a public process to establish that boundary. And that is false. And what happened, and this is the way that the state law works, is that the boundary has to be established. You have to set some boundary, set the tax rate. And then the public hearings are set with the county. And a city has the right to come and challenge that boundary, as the city of Tigard did. They have that right. And Washington County, or the county, whatever the county happens to be, has the power and authority to honor that request. In this situation, the city of Tigard, or Washington County, denied Tigard's request. Their request was illogical. It took a big bite right into the middle of our boundary, our proposed boundary. And there was really no legitimate argument for why that property should be pulled. So Washington County, in its wisdom and authority, decided not to. Well, Tigard went ahead and attempted to annex that area in advance of the vote. And we were required, as the chief petitioners, to hire legal counsel to go to Washington County to try to preserve the integrity of the boundary through Washington County Circuit Court. The judge didn't have an opportunity to rule on it before this went to a vote. It ended up costing the community volunteers, chief petitioners, $10,000 to try to defend this boundary. And I'm asking that you not let that happen again. And this bill will make it crystal clear that once the petition is filed, that boundary is sacred until after the election. And no doubt there will be other folks attempting to incorporate in the next, in the future of Oregon. And they're attempting to do that to meet the state goals and policies of the state of Oregon. of Oregon counties, of Metro, and Oregon's existing cities. The 2007 legislature has an opportunity to end last-minute, expensive, contentious annexation bills and still provide cities a legitimate opportunity to state their case in incorporation hearings. And if the reasons for altering a proposed boundary are sound, a county can honor the request at that time. And I ask that you please move this bill forward and end the waste.
Thank you very much. Sounds like a person who might have some answers to your...
Actually, Ms. Russell, sounds like you had quite an ordeal in trying to pursue your goal of annexation. How long was it from when the petitions were started to be passed until the final conclusion of the vote in that case for trying to form the city at Bull Mountain?
The petition was filed with Washington County Elections Division the end of May of 2006, and the vote was in November. So the public hearings were scheduled, four of them, during that summer, last summer. Does that answer your question? Is that what you're getting at?
Yeah, it does.
The process started in December of 2005, the public process with the community gathering to decide if they wanted to do this.
Okay.
And yes, it was a very challenging process. It was very disappointing. I have opposed annexations in the past because the way that they were handled I felt was very unfair and really dispensed with meaningful planning and natural resource protection. And we were trying to do something good and make something really meaningful happen, and it's really unfortunate that we didn't prevail, but we certainly tried. And I just hope you can make it easier for the next folks who go down this road.
Thank you. Has the city of Tigard come back to annex that part now that it's over?
there are no simple answers.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
piecemeal annexation is their practice right now, and I adamantly oppose piecemeal annexation for the reasons that I've learned about since I've been involved in this for 4 years. And Friendsville Mountain, which I'm actively involved with, and you know, a lot of folks on the mountain support larger scale annexations that are mutually beneficial, where there's a lot of public involvement. But piecemeal annexation serves no one. So,
thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Next, we have Linda Ludwig.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Linda Ludwig, League of Oregon Cities. The League does support the provisions of House Bill 3013. In my research about annexations and incorporations within other states, this is not an uncommon law. Many other states have this procedure that basically says if an incorporation petition has been filed, annexation attempts have to be delayed until either the county court accepts or rejects the petition or refers it to the election and the election is exhausted. To the best of my knowledge, this has not been an issue in any other incorporation petitions that we've seen within the state in these last years, except for the city of Tigard and the Bull Mountain area. I don't think this actually does a whole lot, but certainly for the residents that live through that experience, it is meaningful.
Okay. Yes, Representative Clem.
If I might ask a question that will seem slightly off topic because I forgot to ask it about the last bill, but it'll be sort of a hypothetical. If there were a bill such as, or if in this there was going to be an amendment that said something like if a city charter ordinance or resolution requires a city, et cetera, so the last bill, is there anything that would prevent a city from doing their own charter amendment to have double majorities on island annexations if they wanted to, from the bill that was just recently passed?
Representative...
yes, go ahead.
Sorry.
Mr. Chair, Representative Clem, city charter provisions don't deal with annexation methodology or particular vote requirements for particular types of methodology. The charter requirements that you see today regarding annexation only require a vote for annexation. They don't specify for the dozen different types of annexation methodologies what types of votes would be available. Statute does that.
And would anything that we do in that hypothetical bill from last a minute ago, if that became law, would that prevent cities from doing what they want in that regard?
I would think that's a difficult question for me to answer. I would not support a bill that would give the city an option to put such a detailed option within their charter. I don't think any of our municipal attorneys would advise any of our cities that that would be to their benefit.
Sorry for the digression. Okay. I was just en route and I didn't get to ask my question.
To take that a step further, annexation ordinances also, we have a charter requirement, ordinance and resolution. I'm not aware of any ordinances that that detail the type of voting requirement for a particular methodology. That's in statute and
that's
appropriately
really the state law, because you're covering areas that are in city and county, and the charters just don't work well right there. It's got to be us who answers that question.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Thank
Actually,
you.
Oh,
yes, Representative
McPherson. Ms. Ludwig, I guess what it's like it could be sort of potentially a race for, you know, so the attempt to annex particular areas, and I'm a little concerned about the structure of this bill in that it might open the create an opportunity for defensive action by people who, unlike the people in Bull Mountain, are not really sincere about wanting to form a city. They're just trying to use or put up a roadblock to efforts to annex their area in from a nearby city by passing petitions and commencing a process that they don't see as being successful and maybe even aren't even really fully intent on. And yet it would shut it down for a number of months. So what's your reaction to that thought?
Mr. Chair, Representative McPherson, I would say that would be an outside chance from just my personal opinion. It's very expensive to, first of all, you have to have a group of people, and there are some requirements in the annexation, the incorporation statutes. However, they're not very deep or very large. But within that is a feasibility study that does look at the tax ramifications now and in the future at certain increments. And the feasibility study, I'm sure the folks from Bull Mountain will attest to, it takes a lot of time to put it together. It's a very expensive process as well. It's not simply a small statement. The ones that I've seen are about this thick. And it is a significant amount of information that I think would be a very expensive venture for a small group of people that were just looking to block an annexation.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Mr. Chair. Representative Clown.
At my town hall meeting the other night, I did have one guy ask if they could try and incorporate. I was describing the bill. Could we try and incorporate and just never have the election? I said, no, sir. And it's expensive.
So I was the first one to think about it.
Right, yeah. And I said, no, and it'd only be a few months if you tried. And he said, oh, okay. So there is one guy out there somewhere that's on
that. Just in addition, another thought with that real quickly. The petition goes to the county court along with the feasibility study. I'm sure if the county court thought that there was an unsincere attempt to incorporate, they would take immediate action and deny the petition. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. And our last witness that signed up is Ron Taylor.
He left.
He left, yeah. Okay. Is there anyone else here who would like to testify to House Bill 3013? Seeing none, thank you very much. And we'll close the public hearing on 3013. And this is one of your bills, right, that you guys decided in the work group that should come out?
Yes.
Okay. So we're going to open a work session on 3013. We have just a quorum here, so
we
works
do.
Out
really
well.
Oh,
there
we
go. I think we can go see if there's anyone else out there. discussion, yeah.
Well, I'll just make a motion that we move House Bill 3013.
There were no amendments either, right?
To the floor, we do pass recommendation.
Representative Smith has moved House Bill 3013 to the floor with a do pass recommendation.
I think I hear it.
No problem. So there's a motion on the table for moving House Bill 3013 to the floor with a do pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, I will support the bill. I do have some misgivings about the potential. We're opening a little door here for abuse. I realize it takes a filing of a petition, which means passing it through, getting a number of signatures. I mean, it is a more elaborate process. But just sort of a note of caution about this, that there have been, historically in the state, there have been even the formation of cities, which are essentially defensive actions, that is, to avoid being annexed into another city. They have actually formed their own cities, and we've seen a proliferation of some fairly small cities around the state as a result of that. And that's not necessarily good policy in the end for how we deliver public services.
Mr. Chair, and I apologize. I was pulled out for a minute there. I happen to have the only city within a city in the state of Oregon, and that is exactly the issue that I have facing this particular area. I have homes that do not have sewer in the middle of the city of Portland. I have homes that contract out in the middle of the city of Portland with Multnomah County. And this is no longer legally possible within the state, but at the time it was. I have Maywood Park. And so that is a concern that I have. I will be a courtesy vote on this and, you know, think about it some more before it comes to the floor. But, you know, once again, I think there's my concern about is that there is a reason that we do have annexation as a tool. And I do have concerns about constantly making it harder and harder. And so I will be a yes vote in the committee and reserve the right for the floor vote.
Okay, thank you. My comment about it is that, you know, since coming to legislature, now this will be the third year since that all began, I think there's been two cities that have been incorporated, Damascus and then
Lapine.
And so it's obviously not something that happens often. I think that, you know, from my perspective, having these set criteria that you have to go through, the money that it costs to do those things, I think does deter some, but it's not that it would be impossible. But I think this is one of those small steps. And I also, you know, as I've said in the committee before, I think the big look is still out there doing some things, and they're going to come back with some recommendations, and we as the legislature are going to have to look at those at some point in the future. And there may be some of these things that we do now that may be adjusted based on some of that information. But from this perspective, and just in this particular case, I see this as a reasonable thing as well. Yes, Representative Bell.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I really examine it not so much from the policy of whether or not entities near cities should form cities, because that bill really doesn't speak to that. The bill speaks to if they try to. So it's happening anyway, and they've worked hard, gathered money, gathered petition signatures, are having an election. Should they get to go ahead and have the election without really interference from the neighboring city, and then see what happens? Yep. The other issue is a whole separate area of law that would, you know, could be debated, but I felt this was about trying to take people acting in good faith and have the election, see what happens.
Okay. That being said, any other discussion? Seeing none, we'll take a roll call vote.
Representative
Lindquist? Aye. Representative McPherson?
Aye.
Representative
McPherson? Aye. Representative Mauer? Aye.
Representative Smith?
Aye.
Representative
Lindquist,
excuse Chair Rilwood.
Aye. Motion
passes, and
it will be sent to the floor. Anyone who is...
Maybe
Representative Krummel
would like to...
Would you like to
carry this,
Representative
Krummel? Sure, I'd love to.
Okay, we will have Representative Krummel carry this.
As long as we're allowed to ask questions, Mr. Chair.
Exactly. That will be.
Yeah, you probably don't have to give it in advance.
So, close our work session on 3313. We have two other bills, and both of them have had some amendments sent to us, and I do not like moving bills without having time to look at those, but... we are going to open a work session on 2760 so that we can at least discuss those here. You can ask any questions you want on 2760 amongst each other about those amendments. We then we'll close that work session and move these to Monday. There's also some, and I think you just received them. If you have any questions on the other bill, we'll talk about that later. So, and we have them coming from different places, and I think I may ask, actually,
I have them. That's all right.
Linda to come back in a second, too. So have I opened it yet? I'm going to open a work session on 2760 for the purpose of having a discussion about this and ask some questions. Do we have a dashboard?
Yeah, that's the gotten stuff with the,
okay,
the work group.
Right. And anybody else want to help with that work group discussion?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, that'd be great. So does everybody have the dash fours on this bill?
No, I have the dash fives and the threes.
Okay, I'm saying it wrong. The dash five is what you're supposed to have.
Okay.
I apologize.
I'm sorry.
We're looking for 2760, a dash five.
And then you just received a dash three.
And the dash threes, which I had prepared, and I can explain at whatever point. But it's probably it's sort of a tag along, so let somebody present
yeah, we'll go with that.
The main
the dash five
idea,
first.
Set of ideas.
Who could explain the dash five?
Okay. And Representative Clem, do you want to try to explain this, or should I invite Linda up to help us with this one?
Depends what she thinks.
Or one of these other people. Would you? Were you at the work session on these?
No, I can certainly walk you
okay.
through you know,
okay.
pieces. I mean, the basic issues are, and again, having. I didn't review every word to make sure it says what we thought, because we did have some dashes that were, we thought basically these, and we needed to send them back for more work at LC.
Right.
So the issues that we were working on in general really involve island annexations again. What is the role of something like a stream, river, creek in being part of the island? So we're specifying clearly what that is. This is language that came from one of Representative Chris Edwards' bills. Also, there is a section here relating to the city finding substantial evidence, and I actually believe that we may, by the time we get to Monday, just decide to take that out altogether, because we're really not sure that it's really meeting what we were looking for, and I don't think anyone has any objection to just taking it out. But we're going to check on that. Another piece is the idea that if you are annexed in an island annexation, that you... the city shall specify an effective date for the annexation that is at least 3 years and not more than 10 years after the date. So at a bare minimum, the person annexed under that method, unless they voluntarily want to, I think was our intent, if they basically don't want to be part of the city and they are annexed, though, legally through a process, then that will not be effective for 3 years. So they'll have 3 years to move, make budget plans, whatever you know it is that they want to do. The other part deals with the use of roads. I think the term is not exactly roads. I think it's probably right-of-ways. But in general, how much of an island can be a road? And this in section, it's on page 2, lines starting 5 going through 8 specifies that the road, the public right-of-way, which can be road or other things, constitutes no more than 25% of the island.
Yeah, and that part of this is kind of confusing if you read it, because it says the right-of-way consists more than 25%, but the reason it's more than 25% is because this is a section under 3 that does not apply. So if it's more than 25%, you cannot use it. It is only 25% that you can use. That's how I interpret this, and that is the meaning of this from my perspective, and other people can read that and see that. It is a bit confusing, but from as I read this, and the intention of the work group was that it would be no more than 25% could ever be used in annexing a portion of in an island annexation.
That was the understanding of the work group, that any island that had more than 25% of it as a public right-of-way would not be eligible to be annexed under that method. It would have to have other properties, other things.
Yeah, 25% or less would be okay.
Could be annexed under the island annexation method.
Okay. And I guess that, you know, and we've had this talk with Lynn and others, that it's these kinds that have been problems at times when people looked at badly, and I think more cities are starting to understand that that's not something we really see as a way to go out and add to the cities. And I think there were some good discussions about that kind of stuff. And the fact that we've come to the point now where we're down to less than 25%, it's going well. And I think that those people, at least myself on this committee, will continue to watch what's happening with respect to annexation. And, you know, my feeling is that you just need to engage those people in those discussions. They need to be a part of what's happening to themselves, like the first bill today, and I think that's what all of this stuff was.
And yes. I think part of it, there is a more fundamental challenge that's happening with the way services are financed, because at least actually in Tigard, it sounded like they were told, let's see, how did it work? There was discussion that they were told that there would be some services provided at one point if you were annexed. In Salem, the way it's typically happened is they're told very honestly and up front, we don't have any money, actually, to provide a lot of the new sidewalks and streetlights. Now, if a developer ever gets out to your area and does it, then we would do it, but the city doesn't really have any money for infrastructure, so we kind of handled another way through tax credits and things. So people know they're going to be annexed. They expect maybe I'm going to get something new for the 40% property tax increase. They come down to the hearing. They're told, well, you will get police and fire from the city now rather than the county, and you'll get a free library card now. But right now, the city has no finances to do a lot of the things out in your area that would normally be thought of as being in a city. And so they just don't like it. And at some point, we need to fix our financing structure so cities can actually provide the services. Then there won't be the resistance to annexation, I don't think.
Okay, any other discussions about this one? We have some time to read it, and Monday we'll be actually working on this one. Okay, then we have some dash threes.
Yeah, the dash threes... I confess I was not part of the work group, but this is an idea that had been brought to me some time ago by the city of Lake Oswego, which is two-thirds of my district, and it has to do with an existing provision of the law, which says that a body of water, like a river, for example, creates an edge that if the subject area is surrounded entirely except for that river, then it's treated as an island annexation. And what this would do is apply the same rule to an interstate highway. And it's of relevance, I think it's easy to see it in that context of Lake Oswego, that on the Willamette side, it's basically filled in until the city right up to the river's edge. But on the west side of town, which is out along I-5, there it's quite an irregular boundary because there's no opportunity to create. There are areas that are entirely surrounded because they're I-5 on one side, but then the city boundary around them, and yet are not treated the same way. And so this would simply extend that body of water treatment to an interstate highway.
So, and I say that's really two highways.
Excuse me. Well, because the city.
No, I'm just thinking in Oregon, interstate highway. We've got I-5, and
84.
Right. Those would be the only two.
I think that's right.
So that would be important to understand, like 26-101 not covered by this amendment.
405-205 are part of the state system.
It's an interstate highway.
I need to be clear on that one
before
Yeah.
No, it was certainly not the intent to be picking up these,
okay,
you know, even fairly wide but more secondary roads. It's the major corridors which are substantial geographic features.
Okay. And when I heard that was happening and it wasn't part of the work group, I wanted to make sure we didn't do this till Monday so we can talk to some people and make some decisions about whether we think that works in here or not. And I'll talk to our work group people, because one of the commitments I kind of made was the work group's going to bring back some stuff, and I'm not really happy about changing
it. I apologize to the chair for not having participated in the work group and then having brought this forward. I did, for those who happen to be remembering from when we had the hearing, I did ask about this
Yes.
when we had it in the hearing.
Yeah.
And we forgot to carry his question into the work group, so
okay.
We will sorry about that.
So is there any other discussion about those?
So the only two highways in the state of Oregon are the interstate.
I want to make,
and I-84.
205, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's part of that interstate structure.
I can't they say I-205.
That's true. So. We need to check on that, too, and find out which road
and
really qualifies.
Welcome refinement on that question.
Yeah.
I mean, what I'm trying to do is the I-5 corridor is what, although it would seem that 84 I probably had to be treated the same way, but it's not really what I was aiming for. I was aiming for the I-5 corridor, which runs parallel to the Willamette River in many places, to be treated functionally like the Willamette in terms of this issue of the annexation policy.
Okay. So... Again, what I would do is, Representative Clem, I will talk to Representative Boquist when he gets back. He's supposed to be here tomorrow and show that with him, and he can look at that and talk to some of the other people who are in that work group. Because
is that called the dash something?
Dash three.
Okay.
Yep.
Should have that to look at. Okay. Carrying a phone, but I don't think it's mine.
It is mine. I will close the work session on. Make sure I get this one right. 2760, and we got some amendments. Do the people want to hear about it on 2050? I'm not sure if we're going to move this. It was not part of the work. It did not come out as part of the work group bills. It is one that Representative Crummell had, and he had done some extensive work on an amendment. Would you like to hear about that? As a group today,
I did have a parallel set of amendments prepared yet because I didn't know which bill was going to move. So just to be on the safe side, so the same text that's in the dash threes on the other bill are prepared in amendment form in this bill here, the dash ones.
Do we have it here?
Okay, we have a couple moments, so I will entertain that. So I'm going to open a short work session just to ask what that is on 2050. So, Representative Crummell, come on up so we can just ask you a couple questions. I know that's not always in work sessions, but
thank you. For the record, State Representative Jerry Crummell, House District 26, Wilsonville, Sherwood, and over to Gaston, and including Bull Mountain. And actually, one of my constituents from Bull Mountain is here can't come back on Monday, and if you would be willing to entertain any comments from him, that would be really terrific. On House Bill 2050, we have done some amendments. We have shown them to the League, and right now, the League would I think, and Linda can nod, or she can come up, or you know, whatever suits you, Mr. Chair. But I think that she would be opposed to the amendments. Section 4 is an issue, and we've talked about that. Also, she got the amendments a little bit late this afternoon, and so she's got some folks that she wants to be able to talk with, and I know that she's asked them to get back with her as quick as possible. So I think if you were to roll this to Monday, she and I will sit down and kind of work over those sorts of things. I wasn't aware that Representative McPherson had some amendments also, but you know, by all means, we should certainly take a look at those so whatever your pleasure is on that, Mr. Chair. And I do know that we're going to have to do another amendment there to take out Section 4, because that it does create a major in the dash, is it 2, I think, That does create a major problem for the league, and we're not trying to do that. That's the retroactivity clause.
And this has to do with a particular kind of issue, and that being if you make conditions upon people to get into the...
Right. What had happened, this is with Tigard and Bull Mountain, is that the city of Tigard was actually contracting with Washington County to deliver building permits and building inspections for homes that were being built on Bull Mountain, and doing some of the planning in that respect, but they're not providing any other services to the folks that are outside the city limits of Tigard. They had then started doing non-remonstrance agreements regarding annexation, and basically telling people, in order to get your building permit, you're going to have to sign a non-remonstrance agreement that you agree to be annexed into the city at some point in the future. The problem with that, of course, is that they're being for the landowners potentially being coerced or forced into being annexed into a city that they may not want to be annexed into, and it's predicated on a service that the city is providing to a third party. So what we're trying to do is just basically state that if the city is providing that service for the county, the city cannot force a landowner to sign a non-remonstrance agreement regarding annexation.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And my feeling again on this one has been, and I'll let the committee have, this is one of the bills that we were looking at using to put these other things the work group was in, so we have kept it on the list. If there are other people in the work group who don't like this at all, I need to hear from them before I would even have the hearing on Monday. So, because I made an agreement with them that they get all the bills, they send the ones that they really approve, and this is outside of that. So, from my perspective, to keeping my word with that, if there's some of those people who say no, I'm probably not going to hear this bill.
I understand.
But I'll put it on the list right now, and then we'll go from there to find out whether we're going to move it.
And Mr. Chair, I don't know if you want to hear from Mr. Burke for a minute or so. That's up to you.
We're in a work session. Not anybody here. I think we're okay enough to. If we move it, if it's on the agenda and we're moving it, we'll move it. And I think we'll have an understanding from people that it's something we want. If it's not, we won't. So.
Okay. And I will work with Ms. Ludwig from the league.
That'd be great. If he wants to leave any written testimony or get any to us, that'd be great too.
Okay. Great. Okay. Thank you,
Mr. Chair. Thank you very much. With that, we will close our work session on 2050. And anything else for today? Thank you all for all the work you've done and the stuff we've done to this point. So.
And we're meeting on Monday?
We're meeting Monday at 3 o'clock in room 50.
We could go a while.
We have a few things on that schedule, so it could take a while. We have one that's going to have a longer hearing.
I have a hearing at 5 o'clock.
And you have a hearing at 5 o'clock, and we need to be done by 5. So our goal is the 2 hours. So we'll see how that works. That being said, we're going to close our meeting on House Ag and Natural Resources. Thank you very much for being here.